Chapter 8. Sarah woke with a piercing pain in her neck and shoulder. The bedclothes were twisted and drenched with sweat. Schmendrick was purring loudly and licking her cheek with his sandpaper tongue. Sarah lay there for a minute, gasping, wondering what she'd done to cause such pain, until it gradually subsided. She tried to connect it to the dream she'd been having, but it was one of those dreams, so utterly vivid while you dream it, that disappears like cotton candy in the rain the moment you wake. Thank God the pain subsided. She must have twisted something working out the other day, and this was a delayed reaction. By the time she had stretched, showered, and eaten something, it was noon. She turned on her cell phone. It immediately began ringing. She thumbed the button. Pezzini. The shit has hit the fan, Siri said. Give me a minute, Joe. I just woke up. Yeah, I know you were out late and I'm sorry to bother you, but somehow Channel 6 got wind of the two decapitations, and they're beating the drum about a samurai killer. Turn on the news. Sarah thumbed on her remote and the small Sony flared into life. She switched to Channel 6 and there was footage of her arriving on her motorcycle and taking off her helmet. She turned on the sound. Homicide detective Sarah Pezzini, who has been involved in a series of high-profile cases with bizarre elements. She turned it off. What do they know? She asked Siri. They know two prominent Manhattanites, one an antique dealer, the other a collector, have had their heads lopped off, and even though we ain't said one word about it, they're speculating that in each case something was taken. Did they mention swords? No, and thank God for small favors. I want you to come down here and give a statement. Sarah sighed like Al Gore at a debate. Oh Joe. Yeah, I know you hate this PR bullshit. I hate it too. But you do it so well. And the press loves your cute little ass, please don't turn me in for sexual harassment. So hop on your Yamaguchi and zip on down here, will ya? Oh and by the way, got anything new? The killer took a sword made by a famous swordsmith named Muramasa. And I suspect the same was taken from Bachman. Well that's something. I'll need a report. Before, or after I meet the press. Don't bust my chops. I scheduled a conference for 5 p.m. That way, we can at least make the bastards sweat a little. Come on in, you'll have the space you need to compose your report and whatever you're gonna tell them. We'll work it out together. Thanks, Joe. You're a pip. Sarah splashed water in her face, combed her hair, inhaled a yogurt and a banana, fed Schmendrick, packed her kit and split. As she opened her front door, Weisskopf opened his with the swift moves of someone who'd been waiting a while. They're back, he declared. Who's back? Sarah asked, knowing full well and wondering how she was going to get out of this. Those juvenile delinquents? I can hear them right now down there playing that crapola music. Okay, Ben. I'll go talk to them. Ben pointed at her wrist. Why don't you use that whatchamacallit on them? Maybe then they'll get the message. Ben, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I will talk to them. Yeah, that's right, Weisskopf said with an air of defeat. Go talk to them. Sarah took the elevator to the lobby. As soon as the doors opened, she could hear loud salsa music emanating from the front door. At least it wasn't rap. She briefly considered shooting the boombox, but then she'd have to file a discharge report, and they'd put her on suspension if anyone complained. On the other hand, sad to say, she could hear gunshots occasionally at night, and no reports were ever filed. Who was going to turn her in? She looked out. It was relatively gloomy in the marble lobby, and bright outside, so she doubted the Pashukos had detected her presence. She counted five of them, including the girl Lupe, and a smooth new player wearing wide, pleated cotton trow with suspenders over his muscle shirt, revealing a sinewy torso covered with tattoos. Making sure her badge was visible, Sarah strode out the front door, took one look at the boombox and froze. The Pashukos watched with amusement as she dug in her backpack for a piece of paper. They stopped smiling when she shut off the boombox. Hey, what for you do that, cop lady? Said one of the lesser fish, a kid whose hairline mustache did little to conceal the acne constellations stretching across his face. Sarah turned the boombox around so she could read the serial number, ostensibly matching it to a slip of paper she held in her hand. Guys, you may not believe this, but this boombox is stolen. I'm going to have to confiscate it. You can't do that? Acne Constellation wailed. I pay my man Roberto $20 for that box? Would you be willing to testify to that in court? Sarah asked earnestly. Acne Constellation was silent. Suspenders grinned wolfishly. Ay guapa, he said. Yesterday you told me S.A. Hector off pretty good. Jorge Candido, El Presidente for Life of the Brooklyn Romeros. He held out his hand. Sarah took it. Sarah Pezzini, Manhattan Homicide South. Pleased to meet you, Jorge. Could you and me maybe have a little talk? Whoa, said Acne Constellation. Look out, said another. Lupe, who lived in the building, nodded her pretty little face into a scowl. Just you and me, officer? Just you and me, Presidente. Walk with me around the block. She turned back toward Acne Constellation. The rest of you are loitering, except for Lupe. Take off and I won't bust you for receiving stolen goods. Chinga su madre? Acne Constellation snapped. Almost instantaneously, Jorge's hand shot out and clipped him on the chin. Do as the police officer says, Eddie. Come on, officer. Let's you and me take a walk. Sarah could feel Lupe boring holes in her back as she and Jorge headed for the street. Jorge, I never met you before, so this is a chance for you and me to get off to a good start. I don't know if you have any friends on the force, or if you ever thought about it. But it's better to have friends on the force than not, don't you think? Yeah, I do. And I want to apologize about today. When Lupe told me what you did to Hector yesterday, I 'bout bit the sidewalk. I mean, Hector is our numero uno soldier. He's our enforcer. So I come to see for myself this bad lady cop, and I got to say, guapa, that you are everything I could have imagined. Don't let your imagination run wild. You seeing Lupe? Lupe and I have an understanding, but I'm not tied down to any woman, place, or thing. What about you? You seeing anyone? I'm married to the job. You give Jorge a chance, he lure you away. I'll bet. You work for a living? Jesus was a carpenter and so am I. When I gets the work. I can't get in the union cause I don't got no sponsor. I do after hours stuff, get paid under the table. The people who live in that building, a lot of them are old, don't get around so well. The last thing they need is a gang of puchucos hassling them as they go in or out. I want you to keep this block safe. I want you to help these people, not hassle them. In return, you got a friend on the force. I can dig it. Okay, you need to get in touch with me, here's my card. They did a multifaceted soul clasp and Sarah headed on down the block to the medical center. When she was at the end of the block she turned around. Lupe was walking angrily toward Jorge, who stood with his hands spread at his sides, like Alfred E. Newman.